Let's open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1279, 2 Timothy, chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 8 through 12. And then we'll be turning to another portion of Scripture to read a verse there also. Let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read these verses responsively, verses 8 through 12 of this first chapter of 2 Timothy. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And let's read verse 12 together, the text verse. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And that's page 1238. Make that 1239. Page 1239, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll read verse 10. This also a text verse, and let's read it together, please. Ready? Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And let's pray. And Father, how gracious you are, how good you are to us. Thank you for our church, and thank you for that which we feel here, that which we have experienced here, that which has been so much a part of our lives. We pray that you'd bless today, bless this hour, and the preaching, the hearing of thy word in a very special way. Meet with us in thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
I often think this about Mrs. Hudson. I guess you'll never know it if I don't say it. Every time she sings, you'd think it's the World Series. I mean, she prepares as much for us as she does for pastor school. No matter where she sings, it's always the same preparation, effort. She sings like, I want to preach. I want to make the next one the most important one. This morning I want to speak on the subject, I now believe what I have believed. I now believe what I have believed. Our text is that very famous. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, or entrusted unto him, that precious thing I have entrusted unto him against that day. If I could have spoken, and I never do and never will, at commencement for our kids as a pastor, for our high schoolers, this is what I would have spoken about. And if I could be allowed this morning to talk to you, much like I would the closing of a school year, it's not a school sermon. It's not a sermon to young people. It's a sermon to adults, about young people, and also to young people. I want to speak on the subject, I now believe what I have believed. Father, bless our message this morning. I pray that everybody shall hear carefully with their minds, their ears, their hearts. Please. Amen. This morning I stopped at Mighty and Pantry to get me a paper, as I always do. We take the Tribune, but don't take the Sun-Times, and so I stopped to get a Sun-Times. And a fella, as an older man, he's often there. He's been retired about 85 years, I think, and he's a good guy, and we always cut up together. Always like to see him, and he calls me chief. He doesn't work there. He just hangs around there. And quite often, we'll see him. He calls me chief. This morning, I walked in, and he was there. He said, "Where you been, chief?" I said, "Man, I've been working." He said, "Oh," he said, "what do you do?" I wanted to, he said, you go preach this morning and tonight, but he said, you'll have this afternoon, won't you, just to do nothing? And I said, "No, sir." In fact, that's the old man I was talking about right there. Then he said, "You won't have anything to do after this week, will you?" He said, "Isn't college out?" He said, "You won't have anything to do all summer, will you?" And I said, "Well, I guess I don't do much, because if what I do is determined by the pay I get, I guess I don't do much." But anyway, chatted with him for a while, and I walked away, and I got to thinking, you know, I guess it is hard for people, lay people, to know what the preacher does. I guess that there's no way for you to comprehend all the multitudes. In fact, I never get caught up. But anyway, this is all I want to say. Thursday night, I guess it must have been 10:30-ish, 10:15, 10:30, as I walked out, I said to the security guards, a couple of them, I said, "This whole world is a confused mess." I said this. I said, "I'm sure that in the last 5 hours, I have seen more heartaches than most people see in a lifetime." Paul said, and I want you to follow me carefully, "I know whom I have believed." I want you to notice the word "knows" in the present tense. I want you to know where Paul was when he wrote this. Paul was in jail. He, in fact, in verses right before, he had said something about prison, being a prisoner. He also said something about his afflictions and mentioned afflictions. And Paul in jail says, "I know." Now, that's present tense. "I know." Didn't say, "I have known whom I have believed." That's present tense. "I know whom I have believed." That's past. "I now know," present tense, "whom I have believed." There are truths that I believe for years. I accept them. I never question them. I never dream of disputing them. I believe them. Then comes a day when I need one of them. Now follow me carefully. Then comes a day when I need one of them. And then I take that truth and apply it to my need. Then I know what I have believed. That's what Paul's saying. Paul is saying, "I'm in jail, and to know what I have believed. I know whom I have believed." Now I'm going to make a statement that's going to shock you. You don't have to know Jesus to get saved. All you've got to do is trust Jesus to get saved. See? You receive Him as your Savior and trust Him. That takes care of it. That's salvation. Paul said, "I'm in jail now. I'm suffering now. I'm afflicted now. I have burdens now. I have heartaches now." And he said, "Timothy, I now know what I have believed." He's saying this: that which I have believed, I now have had to apply. Now, the truth is, there are many truths this morning that I believe that I have not yet had to apply. Now, believe me, when you got almost 60 years old, you applied most of them. But I thought about these young people Friday night. I mean, let's just keep pumping truth to them. But you said they don't seem like they want it. Keep pumping it to them. But Brother Howes, they seem like they're not interested. Keep pumping it to them. Because the more truth you can pump to them and the more scriptures you can put in them, then the more scriptures they will have to apply to their burdens, their problems, and their heartaches, and they will have them. And so, we spend the early years of our lives learning scriptures, learning truths, and then there comes the stark reality of life where the truth must be applied. Paul is just mentioned, as I said, being a prisoner. He's mentioned his afflictions. He is saying, I believed, hear me now, I believed God's grace was sufficient. Now I believe what I have believed. I know what I have believed. I know it. He said, I believed his presence in trouble was real. I believed that. But now I'm in trouble. And I know whom I have believed. I have believed that he was my Savior. I know now whom I have believed. I have believed he was sufficient. I know now whom I have believed. I now know in my trouble him whom I always believed would be what he is now. And that's a good thing about Jesus, brother. He will be what you always learned he would be when you need him to be that. Now I believe what I have believed. He's saying, I believed he would never leave me. Now I believe what I have believed. I know now he will never leave me. I believe that in persecution he would give me strength. I now know what I have believed. I believe what I have believed because he has given me strength in my persecution. This is why he could thank God for trials and burdens. You ever wonder, Paul said, I glory in tribulations. Why? Because a tribulation, ladies and gentlemen, gives you an opportunity to test the truths you've always believed. You'll never know them until you test them. Listen, you may know all of your life his grace is sufficient. But until you have a thorn in your flesh, as the Apostle Paul did, you will never know that his grace is sufficient. And you'll never be able to say, I believe now what I always believe. Years ago, Dr. John Rice, several years ago, was stricken, as you know. And never knew a man to preach with the pathos that John Rice had. He was stricken. He couldn't preach anymore. He was in a wheelchair. I was down for the Sword of the Lord board meeting, annual board meeting. I've been on the Sword board now for many, many years, over a quarter of a century. I was down for the annual board meeting of the Sword of the Lord. I had a meal at lunchtime, and Dr. Rice sat in the wheelchair beside me. And now, Dr. Rice could do things that would be wrong for anybody else, but we never thought of right. For example, Dr. Rice, he could look around during prayer. Now, I don't know that he did because I never looked around myself. But people told me he did. But yet, you didn't think it was wrong. Now, if anybody else is looking around during prayer, I'd say, close your eyes! But I always figured God gave Dr. Rice special permission not to close his eyes. Dr. Rice could sleep during a sermon and everybody thought he was praying. Even though he was snoring, he's praying. But anyway... During the prayer, somebody said grace. During the prayer, now hear me. I wonder how many times I've heard Dr. John Rice say, his grace is sufficient. Oh, the good dear Lord Jesus God, help us to know his grace is sufficient. I wonder how many times I've heard Dr. Rice say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I wonder how many times I've heard Dr. Rice say, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I've heard him say so many times. I've heard him thank God for his healthy body. He used to like I brag sometimes about the fact that for 20 years I've not, Dr. Levine, for 20 years I've not missed one single speaking engagement at all because of illness. 20 years. Not a Sunday morning, not a Sunday night, not a Wednesday night, not even a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I'm preaching somewhere else. Oh, Dr. Rice used to talk about how strong his body was. But during the prayer at the Ramada Inn restaurant, in the private dining room in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Dr. Rice is in a wheelchair And now you can't shake hands with his right hand. He reaches out with his left hand like that to shake your hand. And during the prayer, somebody was saying grace. The old man reached out and grabbed me with the arm of his left hand, and he said these words, "Dr. Towns, what we've been preaching is true." I don't know all he meant. That's all he said. What we've been preaching is true. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I'll not forget that first missionary journey and all those churches I saw established. I'll not forget the Troas vision and the Macedonian churches. And I'll not forget the mission experiences. I'll not forget the marvelous conversions. I'll not forget it. But now that I'm in jail and bound and cannot preach and cannot travel, Paul is saying what I've preached is true. I now believe what I have believed. I know whom I have believed, he said. What he's saying is this. He's saying, it works. That's what he's saying. Timothy, it works, young man. Works. Now I say this, as I grow older, I think I know that Dr. Paul is older than I am. He's older than I am. But, you know, when you got the older preachers, like Dr. Jones and Dr. Rice and the older preachers, all you got to do is sort of know they're okay. But when they're gone, you got to find out for yourself that it works. And Paul is simply saying, I've believed it. Here are great truths that I have believed. And I did not dispute a one. I did not doubt a one. I believed them all through these years. But he said, Timothy, I'm in jail. I'm lonely. I'm a long ways from home. I'm sad. I'm persecuted. But I know now what I believe. I believe what I believe. And I've tested what I believe in the trials of fire. And it works. It works. It works. You've heard me tell this little story, but it illustrates it so perfectly. When my sister and I found that Mother had a growth, Dr. Peter had said a growth at the top of her bladder, her gallbladder, I think it was, and had to be removed. Mother was 96 years old. I went over to the little apartment where Arlene lives now and where Mother and Arlene lived together then. Arlene said, you better tell Mother about it. So we sat down together, Arlene here, and I was here, and Mother was across over here, and I said, now, Mom, I want to talk to you a minute. You don't have hepatitis, and you don't have jaundice. But Dr. Streeter says you've got a growth up here at the top of your gallbladder. And, Mama, you got to go to the hospital. And Mama said, son, they're not going to cut on me, are they? Son, I'm too old to be cut on. My son, don't let him cut on me. She said, Dr. Streeter's just a deacon. You're the preacher. You have to do what you say. Oh, blessed thought. And she said, son, don't let Dr. Streeter cut on me, son. I'm too old. I don't want to be cut on. I'll go to the hospital, but don't let him cut on me. I don't want to be cut on. I walked over and put a little head right there in the cradle of my arm. And I said, Mama, you remember when I was 7 years old?
Yes, I remember.
You remember how sick I got when I was 7?
Yes, I remember.
You remember I had to go to Aunt Jimmy's house and the doctor came over and I had to have surgery?
Yes, I remember.
Do you remember what you told me? No, I don't remember. And I said, yes, you do, you little stinker. You do, too. I said, Mama, it's time now for us to put in practice all the things we've taught through these years. I said, all those times you told me that God would take care of us and that God was able, I said, Mama, it's time for you to practice now what you taught me. And it's time for you and Arlene and I to take all my preaching that I preached through these years, and it's time to test it now. And I said, Mama, He'll take care of you. I wish you could have seen how beautifully my mama learned to believe what she had believed. I wish you could have watched her die. Was not there when she died, but I wish you could have watched her in those last days. Anybody that ever watched my mama die or was within those last days saw a saint go to heaven. I can hear her, she'd sing and make all of us that were there sing. Why?
Because my mama believed what she had believed. Paul said, I know what I have believed is true. Why? I've taken what I taught and applied it to my life, and it works. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying, and it does. This is the reason we must keep pounding great truths into our young people. We've got to get their quiver full of arrows. You say, they don't need them. Not now, but they will. We've got to pound them full of truths. You say, preacher, it runs off their off them like water off a duck's back. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. They don't want you to think they're listening. But I'll guarantee you, there are more things going in their minds than you know. And just pound the scripture. How do you pound it in them? They'll hate it someday. Oh, some heathen told you that. You believe that. No, you pound it to them. Teach it. Memorize it. Teach it. Preach it. Preach it. Teach it. Preach it. Teach it. Teach it. Preach it. Learn it. Pound in the truth. Truth after truth after truth. And then, brother, when the complexities of life come, and they do come, these young people can take the truths they have believed, and they can believe them. And they can say, I now know, present tense, what and whom I have believed, because I've taken the reservoir of truth that I have stored in my memory. I've taken that reservoir of truth and reached out and grabbed the truth that I now need. Sit and watch these kids Friday night. I always do. Something to me awful sad about high school graduation. I mean it. Because high school graduation means more than what you think it means. It means leaving a life of fantasy and entering to a life of reality. That's what it means. I thought about a young lady. Sits at graduation with our kids, walks across the platform, gets her testament like we gave last Sunday. One of our kids. She does not know what she believes. She believes it. We've taught her, trained her. Soon she falls in love. Soon she gets married. Soon she's pregnant. Soon the baby is born. And then that little girl, scarcely 20 years of age, is called in, and the doctor tells her, your baby is retarded. Never been normal. 2 years ago, she was in high school. 2 years ago, she was yawning during the sermon, but the truth was being taught and preached and preached and taught. Then all of a sudden, she has in her arms a little retarded baby. It'll probably be in her arms or be at her care for all of her life. Baby will never get married. Baby will never have a graduate from high school. All of a sudden, one of those little girls that sits down here like these did last night, all of a sudden she reaches down and she picks up that little baby. She reaches back and she grabs the truth she learned in school. She grabs the truth she learned in high school or Sunday school or in church. She didn't even know she was learning it. She just heard Brother Howell say it and say it and say it and say it and say it. And all of a sudden, she reaches back and grabs the truth. And she says, I've often heard His grace is sufficient. And she grabs that truth and applies it to a little retarded baby. And she says, I now believe what I have believed. It's true. It works. It's real. That's why it's important we keep pumping it to them. A little girl sat down here 3 or 4 years ago, just like these precious girls did. And I'll guarantee you one thing, brother. First Baptist Church of Hammond is the best wife-producing factory in the world. I'll guarantee you, you won't find a group of girls in the world, high school seniors, as precious and as sweet and as decent and as pure as these kids walked across this platform last Friday night.
Several of them stopped. Precious girls, several of them stopped as they got the diplomas and stopped. Now, this is a big night for them. They're on a platform in front of just a couple thousand people. They're not, their minds aren't as free to think, but they're nervous. First time they walked across a platform to get a diploma, several of them stopped and said, "I love you, preacher." She sat there. I told her not to marry early. She did. Less than a year after she sat right there, she came to my office with a little baby in her arms, just a month old, Zoe. And her face was as bruised as if she'd been in a car wreck. And she said, "Brother Hiles," she said, "I don't know what to do." She said, "My husband's leaving me." I said, "What's wrong with your face?" She said, "He beat me." Just a few months ago, she was sitting right down here. Just a few months ago, all of this was simply something that she believed. Something that she had believed. Something that she did not doubt. She did not contest. Something that she had learned. Now all of a sudden, we get on our knees in my study and cry our hearts out to God. And she gets up and knows now. She believes now what she had believed. Why? It works, that's why. It works. I believe what I have believed. Man walked down this aisle to take offering a while ago. One of the finest men in this church, one of the finest families. Lovely daughter grew up in our church. One of the teenagers, her smile brought joy to my heart many and many a time. That little girl that once was one of our kids who was taught, and we said, "It's true. Believe it, believe it, believe it, believe it." You say, "Well, how? Why believe it?" Well, if no other reason, believe it because we say it. Believe it. This morning, she has multiple sclerosis. What's she doing? Thank God she had some people that pounded truth into her. Thank God that in the storage room of her memory, scriptures and truths. Thank God. Now what does she do? She goes back and says, "I need it now. I need it. I always believed it, but now I need it." I want to say this. I don't care who you are, how frivolous your life is right now, how much you dance across the meadow, and how light your life is, and how much fun you're having, and how many thrills and how much excitement you have. Let me tell you, everybody in this house is going to need someday to find out if it's true what you believe. Learn it. Listen, learn, and learn, and listen. Because you're going to have to face one of these days a burden, a problem, a heartache. You will thank God 10,000 times. You packed truths back yonder in the past, and you packed scriptures in the past, and all of a sudden when reality comes and you say, "I think I need that truth," and you reach back and grab that truth out of the apothecary of the truths of God, you grab that truth and apply it to your own life, your own burden, your own heartache, your own need. That's when you can say with the apostle, "I believe what I have believed. I know now whom I have believed." He's a tall, good-looking young man. One of our finest families. All of a sudden, he gets sick. Goes to the hospital. They think it's leukemia. Take test after test, but it's not leukemia, but it's blood disease as bad as that. Here's a precious family, one of the sweetest you'll ever meet in your life. One of the finest families in this church. And all of a sudden, though life perhaps had not been quite as burdensome, and it seems like things are all going well, all of a sudden, they come face to face with reality. May I testify? may I say, it works. Dr. Rice was right. What we've been preaching is true. As a young preacher, I preached it. And I believed it because somebody said it was true. But now for 40 years, I've been reaching back and grabbing those truths. Truths I had not needed before, maybe. And I reach back and I grab those truths. And I apply them to the burdens of life. And let me say, after living almost 60 years and preaching 40 of them, let me say this morning, with all of my heart, I now believe what I believed. I know. I now know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He sat right here. Right here. Teenage boy. Athlete. Got sick. Well, first he married. He got sick. Went to the doctor. Doctor took a test. Doctor said, you have cancer, son. Well, the boy's just 20 or barely past 20. Cancer. I mean, a year or so ago, he was in high school. A year or so ago, he was singing in the singing groups with our kids. A year or so ago, he was frolicking on activities with young people. A year or so ago, he was going to the parties and the sweetheart banquets, and now, all of a sudden, he's facing the reality. He reaches back and he grabs what he's learned and he applies it to the cancer he has, and he found it works. I'll never forget when I went to see him. He was writhing on the bed, screaming in pain. Oh, preacher. Oh, I hurt. Oh. The wife sitting beside him, and she was one of our kids, grew up in our church too. I guess the thing that hurts me the most is to know that these kids last week, Friday night, they're going to face it in just a few months. Reality. Disease. Heartbreak. Financial strain. Unemployment. Loneliness. I mean, life becomes real. Thank God, thank God, thank God. As real as life is, or the promises of this book. And that's what life really is. We learn great truths and believe them. We store them. Then one day, we need them. We rush to the storage room of memory and apply them and find it works. And then we say with the apostle, I always believed it, but now I believe what I always believed. I always thought His grace was sufficient. Now I believe what I believe. I always thought that He would take care of me and supply my needs, but now I believe what I always believed. And that's why the Apostle Paul could write and say, I glory in tribulation without them. Hear me carefully. Without them, I would never have learned to believe what I always believed. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for the reality of the Word of God. Thank You for the reality of the great truths of this book. And thank You that there are thousands of us in this room this morning who, when we gathered these truths, did not need them. At least we were not aware of it.
when we place them in the coffers containing the jewels of Scripture, we did not know of our need of them. But thank you that when the times came, rough times, when life changed from fantasy to reality, thank you that we took the truths we had believed and applied them to today and can say with the apostle, I now know whom I have believed. I believed he was wonderful. I now know it. I believed he was great. I now know it. I believed he was compassionate. I now know it. I believed he was merciful. I now know it. I believed he was sufficient. I now know it. Thank you. 10,000 times thank you.